are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Join with me on this episode is someone I'm not currently speaking to, so I'll let him introduce himself.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Why aren't you speaking to me? I don't even know what I did, but for those of you that don't know, I'm Mike Werner.
No one was higher in the industry on Max Kepler as I was. Where is my goddamn love?
I thought you and I were speaking.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
A top tier name.
Absolutely.
he helps Batman.
I was one of the people that didn't want the Rays to trade Matt Moore.
I am now currently one of the guys that doesn't want the Rays to have traded Matt Moore.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 143 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is someone I'm not currently speaking to, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Why aren't you speaking to me? I don't even know what I did, but for those of you that don't know, I'm Mike Werner, if you, again, don't know my voice by now. But today's been a pretty crazy day in terms of trades and all of these different moves that have been made. And on top of all of that, I'm going to throw away my Yasiel Puig jersey because essentially he's getting demoted, which I find absolutely nuts, which I know you're loving, Justin, because you're, again, a Giants fan. And I know you openly hate the Dodgers with all of your might, but I just can't believe this with the Yasiel Puig thing.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do this podcast, just you and me, if I'm not speaking to you. So I guess I'll put my anger on hold for just a few minutes while I discuss Yasiel Puig. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, there's no reason he should be going to AAA. Like, there's no reason. Like, the fact that he couldn't find a trade partner for him seems a little ridiculous to me to begin with. But there's no reason. I mean, he's one of their three best outfielders, isn't he?
Absolutely. I don't even know what their roster would look like because Trace Thompson still is not available. I mean, they did just get Josh Reddick. They have Jock Peterson.
Crawford, is he still alive? Like, I don't know.
I don't think he's alive. They've been using Andrew Tolles out there. I know Kiki Hernandez can play out there as well. Scott Van Slyke is back. So, I mean, those are the guys they're choosing. I know that even Howie Kendrick has gotten a few games out there as well. So, like, those are the guys they're choosing over Yasiel Puig, which I find to be absolutely ridiculous.
Like, I don't know. Did something happen that I'm not, like that I haven't heard? Did he do something, in the clubhouse or, out in public, get in fight with another bouncer or something like that? I mean, I don't know what he did. Like, I know he hasn't been great this year. He's not been nearly. Howie Kendrick, yeah, is the guy that they've currently roster resource has Reddick, Kendrick, and Jock Peterson as their outfield. I just don't know what he did. Like, I mean, this seems absolutely insane to me.
I agree. I mean, I haven't read any news recently that says that he's done anything crazy. I would assume that. We've seen him. He's a very passionate guy. He is either all into the game or he's just kind of like, hey, he's just kind of nonchalant. It's one or the other. So I'm assuming that since he has been struggling, I mean, he's had another hamstring injury this year. Like I've mentioned, he's been struggling in the first place. Maybe he's just been kind of throwing some temper tantrums in the dugout. There's no way to really know. I haven't really read any news update that he has done anything to cross the line, but this is a bold move. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to just motivate him, but it's not the best motivation tool to send arguably your best player. I mean, arguably your best player down and, or give him the ultimatum that he's either going to get traded because that was what it was. They said to him, you're not traveling to Colorado. You're either getting traded or you're getting sent down, and that's the options that was left to him. I don't see that as a good motivation tool.
Yeah. I don't understand it at all. I really don't. I guess you do this, you could put them on, they put them on waivers, probably in the next week or so and see if they can trade him via, the waiver trades. But I just don't know. Like, doesn't this destroy his value on the open market?
I mean, how about we're a fantasy podcast. Like, what do we do with him in fantasy? Because
I think you have to drop him in 12-team leagues.
I already have. That's what I was going to ask you, because in multiple 12-team leagues I'm in, I dropped him. I don't want to sound ridiculous, but I dropped him a couple weeks ago, you know, in 12-team leagues, because there's so many other. I mean, I picked up Max Kepler in multiple leagues, you know, a few weeks ago.
Oh, speaking of which, Max Kepler, 3 home runs Monday night as we're recording.
I mean, geez, it's getting like, we knew the kid would blossom at some point, but it's already starting. Like, where's he going to go next year in drafts? If he, say he hits, you know, I'm just going to throw a number out, you know, from this time. So it's August 1st right now. The rest of the season, if he hits 10 home runs, where's he going in drafts?
What does that give him for the year? 20? I mean, that gives him 25 home. I think after tonight, he's got like 13 or 14 home runs, right?
He has 14. So has that would 14. Give him, if he hit 10 more, that'd be
24 home runs.
And approximately 400 at-bats, 450 at most is the amount of at-bats he would do it in. Mind you, his career high in the minor leagues for home runs was 9. Or no, it was 10 in 2012.
Man, I think you've got to think of him as a top 150 player.
Would you take him or Melvin Upton going into next year at outfield?
I'm going to take Kepler.
Same here. How about him or Hanley Ramirez?
Well, Hanley won't be outfield eligible next year.
No, he won't.
But I would probably take... I'm going to take Hanley because of the dual well, he'll be first base only, so no dual eligibility, but he still steals some bags, and he's in the best lineup in baseball, in a better park.
Yeah, so I'll take Hanley. What about Adam Duvall?
I think you have to take Duvall, unfortunately.
Same here. But, dude, I mean...
But it's close. It's really close, and it shouldn't be. Yeah. Though I would like to say, and it's something I tweeted out if you follow me on Twitter, is no one was higher in the industry on Max Kepler as I was. Where is my goddamn love?
I thought you and I were speaking. No, honestly, you have been very high on him from the beginning. You know, I'm always one to be fair. You know, I'll be fair on my losses. I'll be fair on my wins. And, you know, I think you are the same. And Max Kepler is somebody that, you know, you've been very vocal about loving, you know, since day one. So, you know, bravo. Right now, it's not looking any better.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think this power would show this early. No. I really didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got what? He's got, let's see, 236 plate appearances as in the moment we're talking. He has 2 stolen bases and 14 home runs. Now, he's hitting 252, which I think will be better.
So do I.
Mean, you know, maybe not this year, but next year. But I could see him next year as a guy that I would probably project to steal 6 bases, hit 20 to 25 home runs, at a 270 average.
Yeah, in OBP leagues, like, he has always steadily had more than a 10% walk rate in the minors, mm-hmm. like, steadily. So you can expect, like, at least a 330, 340 on base as well if you're in an OBP league. I think that he's going to end up being a top 40 outfielder next season, probably, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting 252 right now with a 259 BABIP.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, he's not even striking out at a terrible clip either. I mean, mm-hmm. the kid's 23. I think the kid's got a ton of upside. I think if we're talking next year at this time, there's a legitimate possibility that we're talking about him as a top 3-round, 4-round player going into 2018, you know?
Yep. Let's go ahead and jump into our main discussion, because we totally went off the rails for what the first 10 minutes of the first 8 minutes of the podcast. So.
Not even trades. It's just
we haven't even gotten into the trades yet. Let's just go ahead and jump right in. We'll talk about Eduardo Nunez to the Giants. It was the first, you know, major trade that was made. We're not going to talk about every trade that was made, because a lot of them, or a number of them, don't have fantasy impact. We'll talk about any that we think might have some sort of fantasy impact. Nunez to the Giants. They give up one of their top pitching prospects. I believe you guys talked about him on the Prospect podcast. So go back and listen to Matt and Mike's Prospect Podcast, even though I disagree with you guys so much on that episode.
I know, you probably were sitting there with David Dahl like, you guys are absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, and... I was losing my goddamn mind. Absolutely losing.
I knew like, it. In the back of my mind, I was like, Justin's getting like livid right now.
It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm at work. I'm constantly checking Twitter for trade rumors and things like that. And I'm losing my goddamn mind because you guys are talking about David Dahl as like a third round pick or a second round pick in a startup dynasty league. Absolutely losing it.
To be fair, I said from the second we started making that discussion that you personally like to use your own redraft ranks when you're doing a startup dynasty. So obviously Dahl would not be somebody that you're going to acquire in that draft.
And I love David Dahl. And I agree with you that I think eventually he could be a perennial first round pick in fantasy leagues. I still think it's insane.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, but Eduardo Nunez goes to the Giants. I'm sorry. Before we jump into that, so if you're interested in a lot of the prospects that went back and forth in these deals, go and listen to Matt and Mike's Prospect Podcast, which came out late Sunday night, very early in the morning, Monday, depending on your time zone. And listen to kind of their takes on the prospects. I'm not the prospect guy. They are. I know the prospects and a lot of the prospects, but I don't have the in-depth knowledge. We may touch on them a little bit here, but for the most part, go back and listen to last week's and then listen to next week's for the ones that they hadn't gotten to because the trades hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, we'll cover the rest of them next week.
So Eduardo Nunez to the Giants. They give up one of their top-tier pitching prospects in the deal. What do you think about Nunez and now in San Francisco?
You know, I think everybody knows he is not going to stay a top five shortstop in fantasy the rest of the season. You know, I think it's safe to say, you know, him going to a worse ballpark in AT&T Park is not a boom to his value, obviously. I think that he's been, where's he been hitting? I know he hit ninth his first game.
He was the leadoff guy on Saturday when I was at the game.
Okay, and he led off yesterday too. So regardless, even if he does lead off the rest of the way, he's going to be a fine stolen base asset for you. I certainly don't think that this is a droppable situation. I think you keep him on your team. You know, as the trade deadline approaches in most fantasy leagues, I would try and shop him because I think it's just I think it's just automatic that he's not going to be able to continue the stolen base pace that he's been on, you know, and I also don't think that he's going to hit, you know, more than five home runs the rest of the way either, but you know, he is going to be useful in runs. The Giants, you know, as a whole are a pretty solid offensive ball club, but overall, I think that, you know, it's not really a change to his value because I think everybody expected for him to be just a tad bit lower in terms of production the rest of the way anyways.
Yeah. I think his value just took his value went up today.
Really?
Because Matt Duffy's gone, and I would assume he becomes the everyday third baseman.
Yeah, he played what, second base the first game, and then they slot him between shortstop and third base the other two games. So I mean, that's also good for positional eligibility going into next year.
Yeah, because I think originally the plan probably was to have him as kind of a super utility guy. He can play in the outfield, he can play second, short, third. But I think with the move of Matt Duffy off the roster, he should probably slot in at third. Because I doubt Connor Gillespie is the answer at third base, unless there's another move to come that we just don't know about because the waiver trade haven't really started yet. So they may attempt to try to acquire someone via waivers, to play third. But at the moment, I think he's got to be the guy they consider as the everyday third baseman. It'll be interesting to see once Denard Span is fully back healthy, if he stays on top of the lineup or if they put Span back up there. I could see him slot in the second slot, but I could also see him drop down to like six or seven.
Agreed.
So if he does that, then his run totals are going to take a hit. His RBIs probably aren't going to be great no matter where he hits in that lineup. So I like him as an NL-only guy if he just came across. I put in some big bids last week on him to try to acquire him in NL-only leagues. I think I got him in one. But as far as you know, mixed league, I think 15 teams as far as I am going to go for him.
If he's facing a lefty, play him. He's hitting over 300 and has five bombs against him.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some decent lefties in the division, so, you know, he will get time. Andrew Miller traded to the Indians for just a plethora of prospects. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I understand bullpen is important, and I understand in baseball especially, you know, in every sport, but baseball especially, if something works and wins someone a team a championship, all of a sudden every team wants to do that. So that's why you're seeing outfield defense get such a priority for a lot of teams, and you're seeing bullpen get a lot of priority for a lot of teams. But this is absolutely fucking ridiculous, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I woke up Sunday morning and saw this, and I legitimately had no words. I legitimately was like sitting there for a second, like, what inclined Cleveland to do this? And, you know, this is not a knock on Andrew Miller, because I drafted him in so many spots this year. I love him as a reliever. He is an absolute stud. There's no fantasy advice to be given here. He's going to be a stud closer the rest of the way. But in a baseball sense, I think Cleveland's insane. I mean, I get that they full well know that they are in the thick of things for the World Series this year. So, you know, I get trading your highest, you know, assets that you have in order to try and win a championship. And Andrew Miller is surely a guy that'll help him get there. But Clint Frazier, you know, just by himself, is a guy that I wouldn't trade, you know, for Andrew Miller.
And I love Justice Sheffield.
Yeah, and we talked about this, Matt and I, on the pod, you know, and if, you know, an interesting part of it that Matt kind of brought up was the other two relievers in this deal that the Yankees received, Ben Heller and JP Fireason, if I, you know, pronounce that right. Both of them actually were closing for their AA and AAA clubs, respectively. Kind of, you know, interesting arms there as well. So it's not like the Yankees lost. I mean, they lost Andrew Miller, one of the best relievers in the game, but they still gained two solid relievers from the Indian system. On top of that, they grabbed arguably a top three, you know, fantasy prospect in the game in Clint Frazier, and then another nice lefty piece in Justice Sheffield. I don't get it. And I think that you're completely right that, you know, not just in baseball, but in almost any sport, it's a copycat league. You know, as soon as one team demonstrates something that has the possibility of, you know, making, you know, getting wins long term, that other teams will do it. It's just like the Rays with their analytics and their shifting of their defense early on. And the platoon splits they would have, with all their guys, they would just, you know, have different positions where they would platoon their players. You're going to see the same thing nowadays. And I think it's ridiculous.
So here's my question to you, because you said there's no real fantasy advice to give, and I'm going to disagree with you. Are you 100% sure that Andrew Miller is the closer in Cleveland? Because I'm not.
I'm not either, and I haven't seen a full-on report saying that Cody Allen has been replaced. I'm not dropping Cody Allen anywhere. So, you know, in the terms of not having any fantasy advice, that is what I'm saying, because I would not advise you to drop Cody Allen until we see how the usage is going to be played out. In my opinion, I think that when there's two lefties, you know, in the ninth inning, that Andrew Miller will definitely get the ball. If there's two righties or all three righties, you might see Cody Allen get the ball. So I think it's going to be a split, you know, pretty evenly the rest of the way, if not, you know, have a little bit of an edge for Andrew Miller because he is the better overall pitcher.
Yeah, I'm in the camp that I don't think Cody Allen necessarily is going to lose the closer role because of this. I think that Cleveland could really use a strong lefty at the end of their pen. So I think that Miller, you know, becomes a guy that is very vital to them, because the only other left-hand reliever they have in that pen is Kyle Crockett.
Yeah. So that's a good point. You know, they might put him in for the higher leverage situations in the seventh, eighth inning. The thing is that they have such good starters that they might be able to get to the ninth on their own every time, you know, or close.
Well,
to...
but I mean, they've also got guys who, you know, in Trevor Bauer, Carrasco, that don't necessarily have a history of high inning totals.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, now they've got Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, Brian Shaw, and Otero, you know, and even Zach McAllister, who I like, in that pen to give them a bridge to the end of the game. especially, you know, they got Josh Tomlin, who, you know, is pitched out of his mind this year, but is really hot garbage. and they've got, you know, they've got guys they want to save their innings on too. I mean, do they really want to, you know, they're a team that expects to compete for a World Series this year. Do they really want to go into the playoffs with, you know, Salazar, Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer at a point where they're tired?
True.
So I think Miller is a guy that I think he'll get some saves rest of the way, but I don't think he is necessarily the closer.
I can agree with that.
And if you can buy low on Cody Allen, I would try before, you know, tonight's game. It's Monday, so they're getting their butts whooped like 12-7 by the Twins. I would try and maybe go out and see if I could buy Cody Allen right now on the real cheap if I need saves. Just to, you know, if it doesn't work out, you're getting him cheap, right? You can just cut him.
You're getting a ton of strikeouts, good ratios, quality reliever.
You know, but he could still be the closer there. And so if you can acquire him, you know, in a cheap way, then I would right now. Let's move on over and we'll talk about Matt Kemp getting traded to the Braves for Hector Olivera. Does this change your value on Kemp at all, moving from San Diego to Atlanta?
Not really, to be honest with you. He's had an astounding last month. You know, this July, he had 7 home runs. I think he hit something like 5 home runs in the matter of 10 games. Something like that. You know, he's not the same Matt Kemp that we've come to know and love. He's, you know, especially early on in his career, not somebody that's going to steal any bases, but, you know, from a non-fantasy sense, you know, Matt and I also talked about this. Hector Olivera is just done. You know, I mean, San Diego.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know you and I were not high on Olivera when he got signed anyways, but the fact that you take, you know, all the off-field issues into account, you know, there's no place for him in this game, in my opinion. But in terms of Matt Kemp, the rest of the way, I think, you know, I don't see him as a very vital piece, you know, in fantasy. I think that he's going to provide some power. The ballpark is a little bit worse than it is in San Diego, so you're definitely going to take a hit there. But it's still in the NL. I mean, he's still going to be facing Philadelphia pitching, who, you know, obviously isn't that great. He does have a couple other, you know, situations like Marlins Park, not a very good place to hit. Nationals Park isn't the most amazing place to hit either. Also, you're going to be seeing Max Scherzer a ton more. So, I mean, if anything, I think it's just a little bit of a dip to his value, but I think he'll still be a top, you know, 30 outfielder the rest of the way.
I mean, it is a better lineup,
which is
sad, because I'm on Roster Resource right now. I've got 2 tabs open. I've got the Padres and the Braves lineup after the trade. And man, like, I know you hate Will Myers, but you got to feel a little bad for him, right? I mean,
no, this is what he deserves.
He's got no one. In him and Derek, how did Derek Norris not get traded?
That's true. I don't know how.
Or Alexi Ramirez. You know, I mean, I'm assuming they'll go at, you know, in waivers at some point. But yeah, I mean, I think I'd rather have him hitting in the Atlanta lineup. So I think this could be a little bit of an uptick.
It could be. I mean, maybe in the RBI numbers.
I don't think the change in park factors is a huge deal personally for Matt Kemp. I personally would have rather seen him go to the AL and be able to DH, because he's not a good outfielder at this point.
No, he's not really good anything at this point. No. I mean, he has some power. So,
but yeah, I mean, I don't think his value changes enough where we need to talk about him too much further. Let's move on to Melanson over to the Nationals. Oh, actually, before we do, actually, I just want to. Is there anybody in the San Diego outfield now that interests you in deeper formats? You know,
Alex Dickerson has been clubbing the ball. Now, I believe he got injured the other night, so definitely keep tabs on that. But prior to that, he had been on an absolute roll and, you know, was somebody that, you know, I was definitely keeping my eye on. Travis Jankowski, I like. He, you know, I believe we've talked about him on an earlier episode. He is definitely a stolen base asset. And, you know, he's going to hit at the top of that lineup. I've been a Yandrovis Solarte fan for NL-only leagues for a long time now. I think that he'll remain consistent. And I like Ryan Schimpf as well. He's been pretty solid since he's come up. And these are guys that are all just going to get playing time because, like you've kind of mentioned, there's just nothing there. There's nobody else that's going to replace these guys. And, you know, I think that Dickerson, Solarte, Schimpf, Jankowski, and Eno only for sure are guys that should be played and will probably, you know, that's the way Will Myers has accrued stats this year. The teams that are facing them, you know, just don't care because they know the Padres are that bad and they're just giving them stuff to hit. You know, it'd be different if they were high leverage innings, but they're just not against the Padres.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a Dickerson guy as you and Matt are, but I see the appeal, especially in a deeper format. Solarte is a guy I like just because he's got eligibility all over the diamond. Jabari Blash has been reinstated from the family leave restricted list. And he's a guy that in a 12-team NL only is probably available because the rest of these guys probably aren't. That could offer cheap power off, you know, off your bench in an NL only. So, yeah. He's not good at baseball. He's probably a quad A player, but if you're in a 12-team NL only, if you have no fab left to bid on some of these guys that are going to be coming over, to the NL, then Blash is a guy that you could probably pick up for pretty cheap off the waiver wire. He's their starting right fielder at this point, and he does have power.
He's like a semi-worse version of Chris Carter.
He is, but that has value in an NL only.
I agree. I think that there's a ton of value in NL only for this Padres team the rest of the way. I mean, and as much as I want Manny Margot and Hunter Renfroe to get called up, I don't know if they will. I feel like if they were,
I think they're coming up in September. Yeah. So I think you got to make do until August, through August.
And I agree with that. I thought that maybe Margot, since he was scratched last week, would have gotten the call right around this time, or possibly trade, which I highly doubted. But
I thought both would be up. But honestly, the play of Jankowski and Dickerson have held them down.
That's true.
Like they've played well enough where they don't need to bring them up and start service clocks.
No, they don't have to. Yeah, and I mean Dickerson's been great though. I mean, you have to. he's had six home runs this year, five home runs this last month, and 66 at bats. I mean, he's making a ton of hard contact.
But I think he's a quad A player too.
He might be. I mean, he's 26, so it's not like he hasn't been given chances. But this is the first time other than last year with like a very brief cup of coffee that he's gotten any major league exposure. So, I mean, he might be. If all of their players were healthy and they were competing, then Dickerson obviously wouldn't be sniffing the roster.
He'd bench guy or in AAA.
Exactly.
Okay. So on to Mark Melancon to the Nationals, elite closer, he becomes the closer in Washington. I think, unless you've got something you want to talk about with Melancon, I think the bigger question becomes, who is the Pittsburgh Pirate closer to invest in?
I initially was saying Neftali Feliz because I felt like, I know Saris preaches this a lot, but managers usually tend to go with the righty in the pen. Baseball HQ has a leverage index, the way that they measure the situations that relievers are in and have been used in throughout the season. And Neftali Feliz has been used in the highest leverage index situations this year, which made me feel like, Clint Hurdle has been trusting him with, the hardest times in the game. With that said, Tony Watson is said to be the guy that is going to be entrenched in the role. He is a absolutely nasty reliever. So if they are going to give him the job, he's not one that I think will lose it. So with that said, I would say Tony Watson is the guy for now, although I have picked up Neftali Feliz in a ton of leagues because there's a definitely a story that you can say or can tell where Neftali Feliz comes into, 5 to 10 saves the rest of the way.
I agree with you. I think that I was a little surprised they named Watson right away. I really thought it would be more of a committee. At least until one of them establishes themselves. They've got some interesting names in that bullpen that could all close.
Well, the thing that I didn't notice at the beginning of the trade, like just right smack in my face, was that the Nationals traded away Felipe Rivero as well. And he's a very good lefty. And I just honestly just kind of dismissed it. I didn't think about it. So the fact
but
that
he gives them lefty depth with Bastardo in that bullpen,
yeah, which to is allow why, lots of exactly those. That's the piece that I missed. If Felipe Rivera was not in that deal, I feel like Neftali Feliz would have been the guy.
I think I would agree with you. But with Watson having the role, I believe that there's no real reason to think that Feliz will get it. I mean, if you want to handcuff him, I don't think that's a bad strategy if you're in a deeper format. But I assume that like NL only leagues, both these guys are already gone. Because Watson was a handcuff for Melanson, and most people took him in drafts and auctions. And I believe Feliz is probably gone too at this point, because he's been really dynamite at the pen. Feliz has looked like his old self in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, not as much velocity as we came to know from Texas, but he's been great this year. I mean, he's only had, I believe, out of his 40-something appearances, he's only, you know, given up runs in, I believe, 7 or 8 of them, you know, and he's kept his strikeout rate solid. I mean, he's yeah, you're right, in a short sense. Yeah, he's been every bit like he used to be.
Yeah. Let's move over, and we'll talk about Jay Bruce to the Mets. I thought Jay Bruce was going to the Giants. I was pretty excited. and then that didn't happen. What are your thoughts about Jay Bruce moving out of Cincinnati's kind of really nice ballpark to the Mets, which is more of a neutral one?
Yeah, I'm a big ballpark guy. I know you're not as much of one, but for his career, I kind of mentioned this on a earlier piece on the site, and I also have mentioned it on Twitter, but Bruce has not performed as well away from home. And it's not quite like the Coors Field factor, but it's certainly a big enough platoon split to have me worried just a bit. You know, for his career, he has, you know, a quite big difference in home run to fly ball rate, quite a big difference in batting average. Just a lot of your underlying metrics. There's a bit of a dip when he is away from Great American Ballpark. With that said, he's been just in a groove this year. And, you know, certainly, you know, in a fantasy sense, you're not dropping him. I would not expect him to continue. I mean, right now he's a top 11 outfielder on the ESPN Player Rater. I would have told you, you know, 3 weeks ago, if he was to stay with the Reds, that he wouldn't stay that way. And, you know, he's still a top 30 player or hitter overall. So I don't think it's, you know, a genius thing to say that he's going to go down in value, but I just don't think that it's going to continue at this pace. And you could see a big dip in his production, honestly.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to move him right now if I can.
Agreed.
I mean, over under 10 home runs rest of the year.
That's a good over under. I go under.
I'm going to say over, but just barely.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
close.
I think he finishes, I would push at 10, actually. I think he's going to have probably 10 more home runs. You know, as much as he had a great year, a lot of it has been influenced by the amount of kind of runs and RBIs he has had. I don't necessarily think they're sustainable. He almost has as many RBIs as he did last year for the entire season. It is a better lineup. It's, you know, the park isn't going to affect him that much. I mean, he's got power that plays anyways, a lot like, you know, what my argument was for Chris Davis at the beginning of the year. I wonder if he can sustain what he's been doing. So I'm probably trying to see if I can get a decent pitcher for him or another area of need. But I think it's time to probably sell.
Really bad situation for Michael Conforto, I would say. Me personally, I've been kind of riding Conforto in deeper leagues, hoping that he kind of gains back, you know, his production from last season. Obviously, we're not seeing that come to fruition. And I think with Jay Bruce signing, I don't think he'll get enough playing time, even though he wasn't logging enough, in my opinion, anyways.
I mean, he'll get some time in center and some time, replacing Granderson. I think for this year, his value is reserved to deeper formats, to NL only probably. But I think in Dynasty and Keeper leagues, I would try to buy him right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because for the future, yeah. He's
a guy that everybody's going to be down on right now. I think you could probably steal him away.
Agreed.
Let's talk about one of the biggest trades of the day was Rich Hill and Josh Reddick going to the Dodgers. I like the trade for the A's as well. I'm sure you guys will cover it. when you guys talk about it over the weekend. But, you know, they get Rich Hill and Josh Reddick for a little bit less than half a season. What are your thoughts on them moving to the NL, especially for NL only owners who are probably looking to buy them?
Yeah, I like Josh Reddick. I always have. I don't really look at the league change as something that's necessarily bad for him. I know Eli is very vocal saying that the Dodger Stadium is the worst place to hit in all of baseball.
I don't know where he gets that from.
I don't know where he does either.
It's not. It's pretty neutral, isn't it?
Yes, it's very neutral. It's not, you know, I think that he definitely targets NL pitchers more than anything, which I can understand and I can agree with. But at the end of the day, Reddick was hitting in the Coliseum for, you know, the last, what, 4 years of his career?
Which is pretty much like the one of the worst places to hit in baseball,
if not the worst. So, you know, there's a few little things that you could look at that are, you know, not the worst in the league, but regardless, for in a vacuum, it's one of the, if not the worst places to hit. And, you know, he's been out a ton of the year, but he still has a ton of upside in his bat, still really good power metrics underneath. You know, he's probably going to be slotting somewhere in the middle of that lineup. I would say he's going to hit anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6. And you know, when you have guys like Corey Seager, Chase Utley can still get on base. Justin Turner is an on-base machine. Adrian Gonzalez is a second half player. I think there's certainly room to buy on Josh Reddick. He had a great start to the season and people were just kind of forgetting that.
He was injured and injuries have been a problem for him.
But you can get him for nothing. You can probably pick him up in 12 team leagues. And if you can't pick him up in 12 team leagues, you can probably get him for literally nothing. And,
Let's talk Rich Hill and then we'll talk into how much fab we're spending in NL only.
Well, Rich Hill, like for me, I loved what I've seen from him this year, you know, and I think that his stuff will certainly play in, you know, Dodger Stadium. My question is when he's coming back. You know, this is my issue. Like, he's been on, you know, there's been a blister on his pitching hand and he hasn't been able to pitch since, you know, what, the 17th. So we're talking like, you know, a half a month now. We've been waiting on him to come back. He also missed, you know, he had his start before that pushed back. I worry, you know, because he is older. He's 36. And I also worry because he throws that curveball at almost like a 60% clip. When he'll come back and if he comes back, you know, still good, how long is he actually going to be healthy? So of the two, I would definitely prioritize Reddick a bit higher, unless you're obviously, you know, pitcher hungry.
You know, I'll start with Rich Hill because I'm wondering how many innings he's got left. I mean, this is a guy that has had serious injury issues in the past. He's already, you know, got 79 innings so far this season. He only had about that last year, less than that. Or no, yeah, about 70 or 80 innings last year. So, like, I just wonder, like, how many innings you can really expect to get out of him.
I think they're going to go with him the rest of the way.
Just drive him into the ground because they don't care.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, he's 36. You're not worried about his long-term future. Just pitch him until he breaks. Because they've got a number of those guys. They've got McCarthy. They've got Anderson. Both kind of just like, just run him in the ground, see what happens.
Well, get this. They have, like, the biggest lefty injured like entourage ever on their disabled list. They have Brett Anderson coming back from the back surgery. They have Rich Hill now. They have Clayton Kershaw coming back from a herniated disc in his back. They have Hyunjin Ryu coming back from elbow problems, and then Alex Wood coming back from elbow problems. So like
Ryu is not coming back. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back either. But regardless, like they're just piling up on lefties, you know, on the disabled list. Obviously, Hill is the best bet.
Have a full rotation of starters on their disabled list, and they almost have a full bullpen in Casey Finn, Yimi Garcia, Chris Hatcher, and Sal.
And Bondoris left his start early the other day.
From a baseball perspective, I know that they're still in the hunt, so like it shouldn't be like extremely shocking to me that they made this move. I'm surprised they made this move a little bit. I'm surprised that they think they could still compete. Like, you know, yeah. I don't think this moves the needle for them that much, personally, as a team. From a fantasy angle, I like Rich Hill. I would be a little bit worried that he won't be able to stay healthy rest of the way. But if you're in NL only right now, I would and you need pitching. Like, you need starting pitching, you're in NL only. I would rather have him than Matt Moore, who we'll talk about in a moment, rest of the way. And I think I would probably drop 75% of my FAB if I needed pitching.
Yeah.
If I need hitting, I would probably... I mean, because, you know, as far as AL guys going over to the NL, this is it, you know, along with, you know, along with Matt Moore going over to San Francisco. Like I said, we'll talk about in a moment if Eduardo Nunez has already been bid on in your league.
Yeah, I mean, from an NL starter standpoint, like, I'm trying to think here, what would you put? Maybe you're definitely putting Scherzer above. You're definitely putting, you know, your, let's see, I need to get them all together. Strazi, Scherzer, Fernandez, Syndergaard, all those type of guys. Like, you taking Cranky or Hill the rest of the way? Like,
I'm taking Cranky.
Yeah, same here. You taking Jaime Garcia or Hill?
I'll take Hill.
Yeah, him or Kenta Maeda.
Maeda.
Yeah, so he's probably.
And I don't think any of those are really that close, though.
No.
Like, for instance, would you rather have Jason Hamill or Hill?
Hill, not close.
Okay. Let's see.
Matt's.
Gray? John Gray or Hill?
Hill.
That's closer for me, but I think I would go Hill just because Gray pitches in Colorado. Matt's, because I'm going Matt's easy.
Yeah, I like Matt's more.
Velasquez, who might have an innings limit at some point.
That's actually what I was about to mention. Like, if you are a Velasquez owner, go to the Rich Hill owner and try and get Hill. I would go Hill.
Eichhoff or Hill?
Hill.
Is it Hill? Okay, I think that kind of gives us an idea of where we're going.
Top,
you know,
20 NL starter rest of the way, mm-hmm. probably.
I think if I needed offense, if Reddick fits into my plans in NL only, I'm dropping 95% of my FAB, especially if I have $0 bids.
Yeah.
So, you know, because, I mean, there's nothing else coming. You know, I mean, something might come, you know, the post-trade deadline waiver kind of trades.
You can't bank on that, though.
You can't bank on it, and you got to just go all in for him if you need the offense.
I agree.
All right, let's talk about the biggest trade of the day, though, in my opinion, on Monday. That was Lucroy and Jeffress to the Rangers for some great prospects. I'm sure you guys will cover those prospects. real quick, before I just want your opinion. Lewis Brinson, more value in Milwaukee or less?
I think a tad more.
I think there's more room for playing time, like, right away.
Yeah.
Like, I think they could bring him up in September, which I didn't think was going to happen in the Rangers system.
No. I mean, and there's nothing to replace, you know, warm weather in Arlington, you know? I mean, there's because
but Milwaukee is one of the best places to hit.
It is. And I personally think that, you know, their Camden Yards, Rogers Center, and Coors are, like, your top, you know, hitters' ballparks in all of baseball. So, you know, I think that's why I think it's a little bit of a bump to his value. I also think you make a great point that playing time will obviously come much easier in a place like Milwaukee that is rebuilding than a place like Texas. So, yeah, I think that's a bit of a bump to his value.
I mean, Milwaukee, you know, since Chuck's not on, I'll give Milwaukee more credit than I will when I talk to him for the Thursday podcast. but Milwaukee, is doing really, really well.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, Matt and I will, or like you said, Matt and I will talk about this, but Lewis Brinson overall is like just behind David Dahl in terms of fantasy value in the future. Luis Ortiz is going to be a stud. So they made out really well in this deal, but I also love the Rangers saying, you know what, we want to, you know, address certain needs on our team. And, you know, they did from a fantasy
standpoint. And not have to give up some of
Nomar
their
Mazzara, Joey Gallo,
Profar.
Yeah. You know,
they didn't give up, you know, a number of their great guys. I mean, I think this is a win-win for both teams.
Agreed.
So as far as the guys coming over to Texas, Lucroy, let's say you're in an AL only league, 12 teams. First of all, does he become the best catcher in the American League?
Yeah.
Okay. And how much fab, like, let's say you're in a two catcher, 12 team AL only, how much fab are you spending?
I'm spending the majority of what I have left. So at 90% plus,
I think I'm going 95% as well.
Yeah. It would be, you know,
I mean, unless you've got two stud catchers. But let's talk real quick about Jeffers. Is he the closer in Texas? Because I think Dyson probably holds on to that job.
There's a report today that Dyson will stay with the job. So he is still safe in that role. He's been nothing but spectacular this year. I think that the, you know, from a baseball standpoint, the, you know, Rangers have a ton in that pen. Dakeman has been great this year from the left side. They just got Keon Kella back. Matt Bush has been solid, especially for not playing in a major league for a major league team forever. And then Jeffries has been nothing short of awesome as well. So, you know, I think in American League only, if you want to have Jeffries as the, you know, handcuff to Dyson, I have no problem with that because it would be him, you know, assuming the role whenever ever Dyson went down or, you know, whatever.
Or if Dyson blows up again, because he did have some shaky, shaky moments after taking over for Tolleson. But I'm glad you saw that report because I didn't see that report. I just assumed it would be him. This is a team that needs a bullpen. Okay. Like, you know, this is not the Indian situation about adding to the bullpen, but you've already got four awesome starters. This is a team that has Yu Darvish, who has injury issues, Cole Hamels, who has been up and down as of late, and then three huge pieces of trash in A.J. Griffin, Martin Perez, and Lucas Harrell.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. This is a team that
needs their bullpen.
Really surprised they didn't make a move for one of the Rays' arms. Really surprised.
I was surprised as well. I don't think that necessarily they are done. I think this is a team that could add a rotation piece through waivers, through a waiver trade.
Sure.
So, I was a little surprised they didn't go out and get like a Matt Bush, or sorry, not a Matt Bush, Matt Moore.
Yeah.
You know, considering what the Giants had to give up, which, you know, it was a lot for the Giants, but not really a lot in the grand scheme of things. I'm surprised that the Rangers, though I saw a report that, the Rays said Gallo or nothing.
Yeah, and they also said Profar or nothing. So,
yeah.
You know, when so you're talking
I can understand them not doing that.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, when
but
I
like,
agree.
Jeremy Heckelson, he didn't get traded either. Like,
Heckelson?
Whatever is, yeah. I like to heckle him. Heckelson. I like to heckle him. Like I don't know what he would have commanded, but...
Not much.
I don't understand like why they didn't go out and get him.
Yeah, that's true.
For nothing. I've liked Martin Perez in the past. I've been much more tepid on him this year. But you know, the three guys that make up the back of that rotation are not good.
Agreed. And I just want to go back to Lucroy for a second because, you know, we're mentioning this in AL only, but in normal mixed leagues, you know, I wrote about Lucroy prior to the season starting and he was my, you know, top catcher to grab other than Buster Posey. I had him ranked two. And the fact of the matter is throughout his career, he has not had big platoon or splits, you know, home away split issues. I think that he's going to go into this lineup and he's going to be just fine. He is an advanced enough hitter that it's really not going to matter. He's been top five in WRC plus at the catcher position since 2013. And not only that, he's going to stay in the lineup because he's also been a top three defensive shortstop since 2013 as well. Lucroy is as good as he gets at the catcher position, you know, other than Buster Posey.
Yeah, I think that I think you have to pretty much spend all your fab on Lucroy if you need a catcher in American League only.
But I also just I don't want people in mixed leagues feeling like, oh, he's changing leagues. He's gonna have to learn a new pitching staff. He's gonna have to learn new pitchers.
If anything, this is a boon to his value.
I wouldn't necessarily say that just because, you know, we talked about Milwaukee and how good of a park it is, but at the same time,
the lineup, I mean, the lineup is going to be great.
Agreed.
And I don't think, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the park factors right now and the Brewers have a top three park, in terms of, you know, home runs, for right-handed right-handed hitters. I was looking at that for Lewis Brinson because that seems to be a nice fit. you know, but the Rangers aren't that far down there. You know, the Rangers are still top 10-ish.
I would like to see their park, though, like during the second half of the season. Like if there was just
I think there's a huge difference once it gets hot there.
Exactly. And that's the thing for me. Like, I feel like if they did a park factors between the first half and the second half of the year, that you might have a few big outliers. And that I think the Rangers stadium would be one of them.
I think the Rangers and then Wrigley Field would be another.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and move on, and we'll talk about the trades between my team and your team. So I'm not going to talk, and you can talk a little bit about Matt Duffy going to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually asking you before the podcast started, like, if Major League Baseball was even allowed to trade guys that were injured. Obviously, Rich Hill was traded, and, you know, Matt Duffy were traded, so that's obviously, you know, something that is allowed. I was one of the people that didn't want the Rays to trade Matt Moore. I still feel like ultimately there is a ton of value in that arm.
I am now currently one of the guys that doesn't want the Rays to have traded Matt Moore.
We definitely got a nice package for him. I certainly like Matt Duffy. Michael Santos is an okay arm, but we got Lucius Fox. You know, arguably your top three prospect in your system. That's not
with an amazing name, like a top tier name.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he helps Batman.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But when Duffy does come back, he, you know, will obviously slot in probably towards the top of the Rays lineup. He will obviously play on a regular basis. He will certainly be playing shortstop when instead of Tim Beckham's shitty ass whenever they're facing a lefty. And I think he'll play probably third base some, a little bit of, you know, wherever. It doesn't really matter. They're going to slot him kind of everywhere as a utility man. But he'll play relatively close to full-time at-bats. And for AL only, I think that that's certainly valuable. So, you know, if you are not in the running for Luke Roy, I think Duffy is a really nice, you know, add in terms of, you know, I think that he'll be cost efficient as well, because, you know, I don't think anybody's really targeting Duffy that much in an AL only. In terms of the other deal, I just, you know, I'm really not a big fan of it on either end, to be honest. I don't know. I really wasn't a fan of letting go of Matt Moore in the first place. I think that the Giants made a lot better in the deal. I don't know why you're even mad in the first place, because, you know,
the Giants don't need Matt Moore. Matt Moore has been garbage. He is absolutely garbage.
Yeah, but
I understand everybody being excited about the velocity from a left-hander, but dude cannot find the strike zone.
I think the Giants, I mean, he's going to be learning from Mad Bum, one of the best lefties in the game.
And I love the coaching staff, you know, for pitchers in San Francisco. But he's still garbage in the, like,
he's not.
It's not just this trade. It's the next one we'll talk about as well. You know, in terms of the next trade the Giants made, at least, getting Will Smith. I don't understand it. Like, if you're going to trade away four of your top five prospects in your system to get Eduardo Nunez, Matt Moore, and Will Smith, like, that doesn't move the needle for me.
No.
Like, it doesn't, you know?
That's why I said I wasn't a fan of it. But Matt Moore, I think, is the best piece you're getting there. And, you know, I mean, this last month in July, you know, five starts, he had a 2.41 ERA, 1.13 whip. A really good job of keeping the walks down compared to what he's done for his career. You know, I feel like, you know, he's going to pitch to contact more, which is what he did this last month. And, you know, when you do that in AT&T Park, I think it'll work out. And the fact that a lot of NL teams just flat out haven't seen Moore a ton, especially West Coast teams. You know, I think that you're being a little hard on the Matt Moore deal. Now, the other deal we can get into, but at least the Rays one, I don't think it's that bad for the Giants at all.
I mean, Matt Moore, I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine in San Francisco. It's a little bit larger park, though. It's not that much better than, I mean, the Rays have a pitcher's park. Let's be honest. You know, and I mean, he is moving to a better division in terms of, you know, going, gets to go against, you know, pitchers are hitting. In the National League, the NL West is not the AL East in terms of the amount of talent he's going to see. This is a guy who's got a 4.08 ERA, in spite of the fact those numbers have been great recently, an xFIP of 4.67. He's not good. Like he's okay. He's Jonathan Sanchez, you know. He is, though. I mean, Jonathan Sanchez threw a no-hitter. Jonathan Sanchez had good spurts, but Jonathan Sanchez couldn't find the strike zone on occasion. Like, a lot of occasions. Like Matt Moore.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a mechanical thing with him. Doug Thorburn is a great guy probably to talk about Matt Moore because he's just somebody, his mechanics are so out of whack that one little thing just really throws him off. But again, I think the Giants will set, you know, will kind of remedy some of his mechanical issues. Even though the Rays are very good with starters, sometimes it's just better to get a fresh start somewhere. Obviously, the Giants have been linked to Matt Moore for a long, long time. You know,
I still hate it.
From an NL only, you know, value standpoint, though, I think you have to, you know, look at Matt Moore as a very high commodity if you're trying to add for the rest of the year.
If you need a guy who can strike people out. A guy that is probably going to give you some decent wins.
Yeah,
I think Matt Moore is, you know, in terms of NL only, you know, if you're not going to get Rich Hill, he's your second guy to bid in if you need pitching.
Yeah, he'll probably slot in as their, what, four starter for now. I think three in the playoffs, but, you know, four starter for now.
He'll be their fourth starter for now. It'll be interesting to see who goes to the bullpen. I would assume it's going to be Matt Cain.
You would assume, but he did have a nice outing last time, so it could be PV. PV actually has looked worse to me than Matt Cain, surprisingly.
I was at the game where PV pitched on Saturday, and he definitely did not look great, but he didn't look as bad as I think advertised. He got a couple unlucky bounces that caused the fourth run to come in, and then they pulled him pretty quickly because. They came up with like bases loaded in the bottom.
That's the importance of Will Smith, because now since you guys have, you know, Johnny Cueto and Matt Bum, especially in the playoffs, I love those guys. You know, you're going to be rolling out one and two starters that can pitch with anybody. And then, you know, for your three starter, you'll either go Matt Moore or Samardzija there. And you have a bullpen where you can go to guys like freaking Javier Lopez from the left side, Will Smith now from the left side, Sergio Romo, Hunter Strickland, Santiago Casilla. Like, that's a really good pen. And, you know, Will Smith being in there is kind of like the missing link, you know, another elite lefty that can just really stop any, you know, offensive momentum on the other side. You know, from a baseball perspective, I think it was a nice move to make, one that's underrated, but they definitely paid the price for it, you know?
Yeah, they paid an outrageous price. I mean, just now, like, don't get giving up, like, don't get me wrong, you even kind of mocked me for it prior to coming on air about, you know, my typical... comments about, like, I want to win a championship now. I want a ring now. It's an even year. You got to go for it. I think they gave up too much. And I mean, it is part of what it's part of what the cost of relief pitching is nowadays. But it's ridiculous. It's like Phil Bickford. Like, I don't, like, he's going to be great.
If you want a World Series now, Justin, you got to trade away pieces for the future.
This is true.
You preach it all the time.
I do.
And the Giants are doing fantasy, what you're preaching.
I preach it in regular baseball. I was on the Diamondback side when the Shelby Miller trade happened. Now, of course, that's worked out awfully, but you always do whatever you can to win a championship now. It just hurts. It hurts because, I mean, outside of dude's name I'm blanking on right now, they've got nothing left. In their mind, I mean, their minor league system is comparable to the Angels now.
Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, thank you. Their minor league system is just comparable to the Angels at this point. It really is. It's going to be like when people start ranking prospect organizations, it's like going to be like, you know, 28 teams. And then there's just going to be a lot of like space bars hit. Or the enter bar hit, and then like down is going to be the Angels and the Giants, like, in, you know, depending on, you know, who's ranking, you know, one will be 29, one will be 30.
Maybe the Detroit Tigers will be down there too. Wherever.
No, the Tigers have more pros. I mean, the Tigers at least have Jacoby Jones, or, you know, and like you know, a couple
about
other
it.
Guys. That's about it. But, you know, they got a couple guys. Like the freaking Giants and the Angels have nobody now.
That's true.
All right. You know, the rest of the ones that we're going to talk about are going to be more quick hitters. They're not American League moving National League. So in terms of fabbing and stuff like that, I just want to see.
That's
like,
not true. Not true. We have one.
We have one. Why don't we, we'll skip to that one real quick. It's Tyler Clipper to the Yankees. Oh, actually, there's two. Tyler Clipper to the Yankees, Liriano to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
If you're in a holds league, does, you know, Clipper become more interesting to you?
Not really. And that's not the one I really want to talk about, because Clipper, I just, you know, he's not been very good this year. You know, I don't think that you can really count on him for anything. But I guess in a holds league, he's okay. You know, I mean, I do think they'll slot him in the eighth inning. But he's been trash, especially this last, you know, few weeks, and really for the season. I can see him, you know, actually getting DFA'd at some point soon, actually.
All right. Did you want to talk about Liriano to the Blue Jays then?
Yes. That's more what I wanted to talk about, and more from the Hutchinson side. Because,
okay, because I was about to say, I was like, Liriano is just a contract dump.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how it feels.
And you know, so the trade is known. The Blue Jays received Francisco Liriano, Harold Ramirez, who is a top 10 prospect for the Pirates, and Reese McGuire. Matt and I will dive into those guys a little bit more. But Drew Hutchinson,
I'll be interested to hear you guys take on Reese McGuire, because they're an organization that has Russell Martin, who, you know, at the major league system. And then they have Pentecost in their minor league system. So I'm wondering if this is, you know, they were just gaining value in Reese McGuire, or do they believe that he's now the catcher of the future?
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. I will definitely look more into what the situation actually is. I want to read some reports, too, of what they're feeling about McGuire. But McGuire isn't nearly as good of a fantasy asset or, you know, possibility for production from the catcher position in the long run than Max Pentecost. Pentecost certainly has a higher offensive ceiling, which is, you know, obviously what, you know, fantasy owners gravitate to. But I do really think that this is interesting for Drew Hutchinson. You know, there's certainly a chance that he sees major league time this year. I actually think that there's a very good chance that he sees major league time this year. He obviously is not as good as he used to be currently, but I love Ray Searidge. I think everybody knows how good he is. He has made J.A. Happ become a viable pitcher, not just last year with Pittsburgh, but also with the Blue Jays now. He's given them skills to continue with. And then, you know, when you look at somebody like Hutchinson, who already has a ton of swing and miss in his game, already has a ton of real, you know, nice, you know, aspects to his game as well. Going to Pittsburgh, a much better place to pitch, just an overall much better situation. I think that makes him insanely interesting, not only for this year, but for the coming years, because he could finally be somebody that stays in a rotation and, you know, he's much better than J.A. Happ, and you could see him, you know, produce as a top 30 starter at some point. I think
I completely agree with you. He was a guy I kind of stashed in a number of leagues when he was supposed to come up and make some starts for Toronto. I thought he was a guy that would come up and kind of replace Sanchez in the rotation, with Sanchez heading to the bullpen soon. So it's interesting to see him go to Pittsburgh and get to learn under Searidge. I think that Hutchinson could be a really interesting guy for Pittsburgh. And if I'm in an NL-only league, he's a guy I may actually want to sneakily add while everybody else is spending money on the Rich Hills, the Josh Reddicks, the Matt Moores of the league.
Yeah, and I'll also say, like, you know, Hutchinson is supposed to start off in AAA, so that's kind of known at this point. Ivan Nova was also moved to the Pirates, so we'll be seeing him there. I don't think he's nearly as interesting of an ad, but if you're in desperate need, then, you know, there's always a time and a place for somebody. But in the long run, I do think Hutchinson is going to be a high upside play that you can probably get for insanely cheap and could pay massive dividends.
Joining us right now, and surprisingly, is our prospect guru, Matt Thompson, which makes this episode so much easier since I'm not supposed to be talking to Mike anyways right now. Matt, how you doing?
Good, guys. Sorry about that. I hate getting dragged to places I don't fucking want to be at.
Well,
all of us have been there.
Give us your thoughts on the Liriano trade to the Jays, Hutchinson over to Pittsburgh.
I really liked your analysis on Hutchinson, though, Mike. I think you nailed it. I liked this guy for a while. I mean, he's been bitten by the home run bug. He's going to go move to a better ballpark for that. I'm just trying to kind of figure out what Pittsburgh's really doing.
It's a money dump.
Yeah, but like Liriano's not that expensive compared to the market, and you gave up Harold Ramirez, who he's probably a fourth outfielder, but he's a very useful fourth outfielder. He makes a lot of contact. He can hit a handful of home runs.
He's not going to be a fourth outfielder for them with the guys that they've got.
No, he's not. But that doesn't mean you give him away, which essentially is what they did. And Reese McGuire is interesting. I mean, not from a fantasy perspective, but I mean he's arguably regarded as the best defensive catcher in the minors, and he's going in this deal. Liriano in Toronto, though, that's a dumpster fire, man. I'm staying the hell away from that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. In terms of Ian Nova coming over, Ivan Nova coming over to Pittsburgh, any interest for either of you guys there? He's shown flashes of being better, and then nothing. You know, no, then he'll get creamed.
Yeah, I'm not very interested. It's another kind of weird thing. They're giving away two players to be named in that deal, and Ivan Nova is a free agent after this year. So I maybe they're trying to see what they got and maybe get an inside track on re-signing it, but it's kind of a weird deal for me.
Mike, any thoughts on Nova?
Yeah, I don't think he is somebody that's an automatic add. You know, I think a deeper mix, he's somebody that you can certainly stream at times. He has pitched better of late at times. Again, I mean, like, three of his last five outings, he's allowed only one run, you know, struck out, you know, seven in those outings. So he has the upside to be okay in certain outings and against certain matchups. But, you know, even last start against Tampa Bay, you know, in a really nice pitcher's ballpark, he gave up five runs in four innings. So certainly a guy that will get a bit of a bump from Ray Searage being his pitching coach. But at some point you have to kind of say, you know, because Ivan Nova used to be regarded as a pretty solid starter. But I think he's one of those guys post Tommy John that has never really been able to get his stuff back where it used to be.
Yeah, he was good like 3 years ago. So we'll see.
All right. The last few ones that we're going to talk about, we're going to do kind of just a quick buy or sell. Give me whether you like the move for the player's fantasy value or not. If you want to expound on it a little bit, you can, but I don't think a lot of these guys change a ton in value, at least positively. So I'm probably, unless you really want to talk about them, we'll just kind of do this quickly. Andrew Cashner goes to the Marlins. Buy or sell, Matt?
I'm still selling. I like the fit better, but I'm still selling. I'm not a big fan of Cashner as it is. He's kind of like right-handed Matt Moore, and I'm not in on him either. So
Matt Moore is just getting compared to a bunch of crap today.
I didn't even hear what you guys said. So
I compared Matt Moore to Jonathan Sanchez.
Justin's being a big baby because the Giants are preaching doing what he's preached to every fantasy owner on this podcast since day one.
Justin uses prospects as currency, and that's what the Giants are doing.
And I'm angry. I'm angry because they didn't get a lot back in return.
No, they gave up a lot, man. But hey, flags fly forever, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever. Fuck. I didn't even tell you guys I almost met Gregor Blanco. I stood 5 feet from Gregor Blanco on Saturday.
If you met him, would you say at the end, like, you would obviously say hi and, you know, probably push your daughter away for a second. But after you push your daughter away, would you say, you know what, fuck you, Gregor Blanco?
I'd probably tell him he cost me a fantasy league just to see what his reaction is. You know, it's hard because, like, there's part of me, you know, working for Fangraphs and things like that where I'm like, you know, maybe I should cool down the kind of the shit I say on Twitter because, you know, some legitimate organizations are not going to want to hire me. I'm surprised Fangraphs has, you know, Eno follows me over at Fangraphs. And like, I remember the first time he saw my fuck Gregor Blanco tweet. I think he got a little upset that I'm a representative of the company, but
you're a silent representative.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the shadows.
Yeah. I'm definitely the lower tier. I'm definitely a quad A player at Fangraphs. So, Mike, buy or sell on Cashner?
Sell. I'll just keep it that simple. I hate Cashner. Trashner.
I don't like Cashner either, but I like the fit.
I guess.
So, in a league deep enough to own him, I actually think he takes a little bit of a bump in value.
I think he's a five-starter in NL only.
Is it a given that he stays in the rotation if Chen comes back? I mean, he might be the guy that gets kind of... Right, I mean,
I don't think they would have traded what they. I mean, they traded Josh fucking Naylor for him. So
no, yeah, I know. I'm not. I'm just saying. Like, I think it's kind of short. Unless Chen's out for the year. I mean, unless maybe we don't know. But
I mean, I haven't heard much of a timeline on Chen to begin with. But let's see. I just pulled up their starting rotation right now. I mean, currently on roster resource, they only have four guys in their rotation, and Kastner's their number two starter.
Yeah, I mean, they got Fernandez, Connolly, Kohler.
Like, who's the fifth guy? Nicolino?
So yeah, I mean, I guess
if Chen
right.
comes back, okay. it's still Kastner.
No, and, you're right.
I mean, Connolly probably will be on some sort of innings limit because I don't think he had a ton of innings last year.
Well, they got Jose Urena. They have Jose Urena. But they, did you hear about they had to trade Colin Ray back because of his fucking elbow issue?
Well, they just agreed to another trade on him, didn't they?
Well, no, it was just a buyback, essentially. Like, they gave back Colin Ray, and they received their prospect they gave before. I think it was Taylor Guerrero. They got back, or Luis Castillo. It was Luis Castillo. So,
oh, yeah. I thought I saw a secondary trade with him.
Yeah, it was. They had to trade him back. They sent Colin Ray back for Castillo because Colin Ray was hurt.
So technically, the trade ended up being Andrew Kastner and Taylor Guerrero for Josh Naylor, Carter Katz, and Jared Cozart.
Yep.
All right.
Barf.
Let's see. Next one, Wade Miley to the Orioles.
Sell.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. I'm selling that as well. Steve Pierce to the Orioles.
Buying.
I actually would sell because he's not going to get nearly the same amount of playing time.
I like the park change, but I don't like the playing time differential.
Yeah,
I think they'll. Like, any thoughts on maybe I'm just spitballing here, moving him to second and playing Scope at third and Machado at short?
They could do that.
I guess they. Well, I mean, can't Pierce just play third and not have Scope?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, he's played third a few times. Third,
so. Yeah. Yeah, I don't love it.
I don't think he gets nearly... He was almost a full-time player for the Rays, so he's not going to play full-time for the Orioles, no matter what.
Valid point.
This is the same as what he was last year. You know, I mean, essentially.
Hector Santiago to the Twins, Nolasco to the Angels. Obviously, no one's buying Nolasco, so Santiago to the Twins, buy or sell.
Same.
yeah, I'm not doing anything. I got to, like... What a weird trade. Like, who calls up who and be like, hey, I want Ricky Nolasco. Like, or hey, I want Hector Santiago. Like,
What is Nolasco got left on that outrageous deal he signed with the Twins?
But the Twins sent, it's like a money wash because somebody sold $4 million more, so they sent money over to match it. So it's like a complete, like, change of scenery trade. Like, nobody's losing or gaining anything.
Nolasco still has another option year in 2018, so he's got.
But he's got to hit 400 innings between 2016 and 2017 to hit it.
Oh shit! Yeah, well that's not happening.
that's not happening. Like the option, like even if he's at like 199 with like half the season to go, they'll demote him.
Oh, definitely.
like they're like, we're not like, oh shit, one more inning. Let's get him out of this game and send him down to AAA right now.
Well, he probably has something in his contract where he can't get sent down, but
I'm even just surprised he has 124 innings this year.
So am I.
So
it's not pretty.
That is gonna wrap us up. Mike, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Mike Warner, FWFB. We did leave out Carlos Beltran, but I think it's more of a sell situation.
Sorry. Yeah, I skipped over that. Sorry. Yeah, Beltran, sell.
Yeah, especially in a worse ballpark. But regardless, yeah, you can catch me on Twitter. Listen to Matt and I on the Prospect Podcast. That comes out on Mondays. We're definitely going to do one this next week as well, covering all of these other moves that happens. You can read my stuff on baseballhq.com on Saturdays. I put out my daily matchups piece for them. You can check out the Rays stuff I do on Fantasy Pros, and also check out the football podcast that we got going.
Matt, why don't you tell people where you can be reached and what you're working on?
MBTomp24 on Twitter machine, and I am constantly updating my rankings. I will have something out as far as that updated organization or overall list in the next couple days after the deadline here, so look for that.
You can always reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me or the show, Friends of Fantasy Benefits, @gmail.com. Definitely give us a rate and review. Check out our sponsor, OfficialFantasyRings.com. Use our promo code FWFB at checkout. Get 10% off. If I didn't already say, give us a rate and review on iTunes, please do that. It really helps us out. You can read anything I'm writing for football right now on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. All my baseball stuff currently is over at FanGraphs. Definitely check out our fantasy football podcast, and we'll have a new link and stuff for fantasy basketball hopefully coming out here shortly. For Matt, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening, and have a fantastic baseball season.
Flags fly forever.
Booyah.
Fucking Giants.